Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Practic.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in, hour number two here on Monday, and today is Money Monday, so we have joining us in the studio, Manny the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial Services. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. How's your day going so far?
So far, so good, but that's also because I haven't had to spend any money yet.
Well, that's always a good start.
I mean, I was thinking about it, and this is something that I actually do think about when I get in the car on a Monday morning. I'm like, okay, what did I spend this weekend? How much am I in the hole for things to say, okay, I'm going to forego buying lunch today to try to get past that. And I didn't do too badly this weekend, but then again, you know, there's always ways I could have saved.
Well, and I think everybody kind of goes through that at some point, especially as they're getting closer to that 5-year window of retirement. You start to overthink, where am I right now? Have I done enough? What can I save extra? Or am I in a place where if I decide to retire tomorrow, am I going to be okay? And we kind of have that human mentality of, well, what did I actually do? And we're kind of having that inventory internally.
Well, I'm assuming, too, that your phone was probably ringing off the hook Friday because Thursday was the State of the Union address. That puts people in a certain mindset. And then, you know, you've also got, you know, anytime there is a State of the Union, the stock market reacts to that. People start looking at how their stocks are doing, and they start to worry about, is there going to be a crash? You must have been fielding some of those calls.
Especially during an election year, you tend to get a lot more anxiety and a lot more hyper aware of what's going on with my investments, what's going on in the stock market. And it's one of those conversations that we have in the office where, yeah, this is a volatile time period. This is... the stock market in itself is always going to go up and go down. And that's where I kind of have to remind people, why are you in the stock market in the first place, right? The stock market's just a tool, just like using your bank as a tool or using an insurance company. They're just one part of your overall portfolio.
Yeah. And it should never be the entire plan. But also, people are just naturally, I think, and I know I shouldn't say this because we don't want to be that way, but people are naturally pessimistic, especially when it comes to finance. You know, they want to be conservative with that money. So they're going to look at the half empty glass.
Well, it is a little easier to pick out the things that could go wrong rather than the things that could go right. And I think that's where having that perspective with why are you in the stock market kind of helps, because, again, we get caught up in what's the individual stock that I own, what's the individual bond do I have, rather than kind of taking a point of view of, okay, I'm 3 years away from retiring. I know I have enough set aside, but can I really take a big loss? And then that's where you're going to have to evaluate, is my portfolio designed for growing because I got 5, 10, 15 more years to go? Or is my portfolio designed where if I had to leave work tomorrow, I could start drawing a paycheck from it, and even if the market took a 10 or 15% crash, I'd be okay. And that's understanding, where is your money designed for growth, the stock market? Where's my money for safety? And that's generally your bank accounts and your savings accounts. And then where's my money that's designed for protection or income? And that's generally the insurance world, like Social Security benefits, pensions, annuities, those type of things. but we get caught up on the stuff that's exciting, right? I just got 15 shares of Google and it's up 25%, you know, since I bought it, which, don't get me wrong, we need that. But if that's your only source of financial security, you're going to have up days and down days. And I don't know about you, I like to have them be pretty low key.
Well, and how much do current events affect people's, you know, day-to-day investments? I mean, certainly the news is going to play that up because it gets people watching and it gets people paying attention. But is there really cause for concern if a war breaks out or if, you know, there's a major company that goes under?
Well, and you should be aware of them, but I wouldn't base your entire decision on that one event. All right, if you look at a graph of the stock market, it always looks like it's going up, right? Every time we look at it, we're like, oh, if I hold it long enough, I'll make enough money. But then if you zoom in on certain points of time, you can see the ups and downs. You can see the roller coaster ride, or like what I like to call it, the heart attack rhythm, right? It's up and down, up and down. That's always going to happen. So if you take a short enough view, you're always going to see the bumps. But if you can look at it and just say, okay, is this something I need now? Or can I ride out whatever this bump is for the next 5 or 10 years, knowing that I have other money I can rely on?
And one of the things that I think people are concerned about these days is you hear the conversation about, will Social Security last? Will it be around? And certainly if you're somebody who's retiring in a few years, you probably don't have to worry about it. But if you're somebody like me or younger than me, where you're looking at 20, 30 years out from being able to do that, you might have concerns about what's going to be there. You need to kind of insulate yourself for the possibility that it might not be there.
And I would agree with that to the extent that you don't want to plan your entire retirement around one piece, right? Kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the stock market. If you're in that younger generation, Social Security is going to change. What it's going to look like, you and I have no guess, because that's up to the politicians and, you know, how long they believe it will last and what they believe is the best choice based on what we tell them. The hardship with that is that Social Security was never designed to be your number one source of income. It was really only designed to replace about 30 to 33% of your income. So if you're used to making $1,000 a month, and I know that's an extremely low number, but we need easy math this morning.
I definitely do.
Yeah. That means out of that $1,000, only $333 was designed to be replaced by Social Security. So the other $700 that we needed has to come from what you and I save. And that's generally where pensions, if you're fortunate enough to have a company that still have that, could kick in. That's where your investments in your 401ks and your IRAs and 403bs kick in. And that's where the savings from like your CDs and your money markets and those interest payments come in as well. All of that gets pulled together to help replace your income. And so if you are relying on 50 or 60 or 80% of that being one of those items, and the world gets in the way and does something we don't like Social Security stops paying, or the stock market takes a 30% crash, yeah, that will affect the way you live. And I don't care if you have a dollar or $1 million, a 30% crash is going to affect you.
So on Money Mondays, we've talked a lot about getting people into the mindset for saving, for retirement. Yeah. But one thing we don't really talk about is what happens when you reach that point, and now you've got to switch from saving to spending, which I'm sure is a concern for a lot of people and not an easy transition for them to make after all these years spent trying to save for every eventuality.
I would agree with that. That's one of the things that we hear a lot in the office is we'll have that initial discovery meeting where we're kind of learning about who you are and what your goals are. And outside of, do I have enough money to retire? It's usually the, how do I spend it? Because there's this weird psychological feeling that I shouldn't be taking money out of my 401k, right? I've been saving, I've been watching it grow. I like that it goes up. And now you're going to go into retirement and you're not going to be contributing to that account anymore. And so there's a part of you that feels like I should be saving something. Now, you're never going to change who you are once you go into retirement. The person you are while you're working and the person you are while you're retired are still going to be the same. The thing that will be different is how you spend your time and how you spend your money. And so that's where setting clear lines of what you're going to withdraw and how you're going to withdraw helps. And we generally call that your three types of income. What's going to come in to replace your salary, that day-to-day paycheck? And that's usually food, shelter, clothing, medication, all the basic stuff. And then you have your predictable or fun money. And that's the entertainment. That's the lifestyle. That's the stuff that makes you you. It's the going out to the movies once a week. It's the having dinner on the weekend. It's spoiling the grandkids. And then there's your flexible money, and that's the savings replacement. That's the what's going to keep up with a gallon of milk that goes from $3 to $12. You're going to stop saving in your 401ks, but you're going to have more money coming in than what you're spending. And so you're going to watch your savings accounts grow. And that's the mindset that you have to get comfortable with, is that you're going to save in a different place, not what you're used to saving.
Do you find that most people, once you've talked them through that, do they have an understanding for it, or is it still kind of a learning process? They have to kind of see it to understand it.
It's a little bit of both. And I know that's not a clear answer. Mm-hmm. But I find that if some people will get it right away, and because they were already in the mindset of trying to plan for it. And I find that when you're going through the different stages of retirement, because the very first stage is you're getting ready for it, right? I'm working, I got 5 years to go, and I keep fantasizing that my vacation is not going to be 2 weeks, it's going to be 30 years. And then once you actually do retire, you go into this retirement vacation mindset of, you know, I know I've retired, I know I'm not going back to work, but it hasn't quite sunk in yet. And that's usually that catalyst or that learning point that you were talking about of, do I still do the routines and the things that I normally do, and how do I fill my time? Or do I kind of deny it and I tell myself, well, maybe I shouldn't have retired yet. Maybe I should pick up a part-time job, right? You're kind of half in and half out. You haven't quite fully committed. Once you get into your go-go years and you start to accept what your retirement is and start to kind of have a routine and do the fun things you've always thought about, that's generally where you start to see it. And depending on how quickly you get through the retirement vacation just determines whether you get it done right away or it takes you a year or two to kind of get comfortable.
I have a friend who retired 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, but she just recently retired, and she went through that whole struggle of what am I going to do now? I mean, she was all excited to not have to do anything.
Yep.
And then realized like that's not in her to do that. She has to find things to do, and she didn't have like a plan because she worked so much. She didn't even really have hobbies. So outside of traveling, which she didn't want to do anymore because she was trying to save some of that money. So it really was a struggle. And like I'm just telling her the whole time, like, you do know that you can do whatever you want. Like, nobody's going to judge you. If you decide I'm going to go work at Walmart part-time just because you want to fill your days, you can. If you decide I'm just going to sit around and read, you can do that too. Like, you've built this for yourself so that you can have that freedom of choice.
And that's actually a really good example because she's kind of struggling with the idea of, I have spent the last 30 to 40 years doing, you know, this career that I love that helped define me, and now you stop. It's like going 100 miles on the highway and then you come to a dead stop. Some of us can't do that. I know me personally, I can't do that.
No, me either.
But the key to transitioning out of that is starting to kind of think through, what do you want to do with your time? What are the things that you've been kind of putting off or that you enjoy? And you kind of start to build a routine. We call it purpose, but the reality is, our jobs found something valuable in what you and I do on a day-to-day basis. We all have a skill set that makes us valuable, and our companies just happen to show us how we can make money off of it, and they profit. When we retire, the skill sets that made us valuable to our companies weren't given to us by the companies. We actually had that internally. You and I have that natural ability, and so now what are you going to use it for? Because now you're in control of it. You don't have to get up at 6 a.m. and hear the same 3 songs on the radio as you're driving into work, and then the same 3 songs as the way you're driving home. Now, there's some comfort in that, but now you're in charge of it. And once you kind of get through that, you can build whatever you want around your own time, you'll go into retirement having a much better sense of what's going on, and then you can be comfortable spending your money.
Because I'm sure a word you hear quite a bit is, you know, productive. I want to be productive. And you just have to help people. And that's part of what an advisor can do, is help people understand that the idea of productivity changes.
Yeah, and that's key. So if you're working with an advisor or you haven't started to work one with yet, one of the things that you want to make sure that you're talking about with them is not just the financial side of it. It's how do they help you walk through all the things that you've never gone through before? Because the reality is you only get one chance to retire. You really don't want to do it twice if you don't have to. the exciting thing about what I get to do and the entire team at Euclid is we help on average at least 100 retirees retire every single year. And we have helped so many people walk through that process. And what's amazing about it is we get to share their experiences with you. So even though I have not personally retired and I don't plan on it anytime soon, I can help walk you through that process. The entire team will walk you through the process of what should you be prepared for? And it's not just the financial aspect, it's the psychological point, right? The what do I do with my time, and did I make the right choice retiring today?
And you know, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of people that think that they can come up with a retirement plan on their own based on their own research and, you know, whatever they might have done to plan for that. But it's these other aspects of it, these other parts of the plan that they could always use somebody else's perspective on.
Exactly. And I find there are two types of people that come through the door for us. Those that just are really good at what they do for their day-to-day work, but when it comes to the financial side and stocks, they just get overwhelmed. They go, you just take a look at it for me, make sure I'm not hurting myself, right? And so we'll build an absolute complete plan, everything from the financial to the advice. And then there are others like you're talking about who will do the research, will build it, and for whatever reason, that's their hobby. They enjoy it. But they'll come to us because they will find something that they've hit a roadblock on. And so they just need someone to make sure they didn't miss something in the equation or that they're not going to hit a pitfall that they might not see because they haven't done it before.
Have you had people who have come to you who have already tried to do it themselves, already retired, and then realized that what they were doing wasn't working?
So we've had that. And we find that when they come in, they're really good people. They've done a lot of the research. They've got a lot of the foundational pieces that what you and I are talking about here today, where they just get stuck. And this is the downside to Google, right? If Google is your advisor, they'll give you great data, but they won't tailor it or walk through how it actually affects you in real life. And that's generally what's missing when someone has done it themselves and they hit that roadblock and they go, retirement isn't what I thought it was going to be. That's generally where you should have a conversation with somebody like myself and the team at Euclid Financial Services, because you're not missing anything. You just need perspective and someone to walk you through the steps that they don't tell you on Google.
So it's really never too late to come and meet with someone at Euclid.
Exactly. And the easiest way to get a hold of us, you can call us direct at 401-727-2727, or you can go to the website at euclidfs.com. That's EUCLID. F as in financial, S as in services. And you can actually schedule an appointment right online there, see the calendar, and pick a time that works for you. Because a 15-minute conversation with us, the worst thing that happens is you and I have a really good laugh, we have bad coffee in the office, and I give you a high five and say you did okay.
And of course, if people want to get more comfortable with the idea, they can tune into the show every weekend. Tell everybody about the show.
Absolutely. So you can reach, you can listen to us every weekend here at the Retirement Factory. And that's where myself and the host Josh Wells and the other team at Euclid Financial Services, we literally talk to you about what retirement sounds like and how to get through it in hopefully an easy and fun way. We like to think of it as educational with entertainment.
See, and we're catching people on Monday morning when they're on their way to work and they're not clearly thinking about retirement because they're either frustrated because they got to get to work on a Monday morning or, you know, they're whatever their mindset might be. But on a nice Sunday where you can relax and listen Yep. And really tune in and pay attention, it's well worth it. So I want to thank you for coming in and for doing these Money Mondays with us, and we'll do it again next month.
Perfect, Tim. I appreciate being here. It's always a good time.
All right, we have to take a quick break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. Now, of course, you can give us a call at 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And hopefully you learned some things about planning for retirement. And hopefully you are, if you're somebody that's on the verge of retiring, you know, that's valuable advice. But if you're somebody like me that thinks that you're never going to be able to retire, I can tell you this. Man, he's been opening my eyes to a world that I didn't think I would ever want to be part of. I always thought I would work until I keeled over, but he makes it sound really appealing to be able to do whatever you want. If I'm looking forward to anything in retirement, it's not being, you know, controlled by the clock. That's because I'm not good with answering that call. I'm not good with sticking to a schedule. I'm not good with being where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be. So I like the world that he describes. I like the idea of being able to wake up when I want, leave the house when I want, do what I want when I want. So I'm going to take the advice that he gives And maybe I won't have to work until, although I say that, but, you know, I'm always going to find something that I want to do because I like to do it. And you know what else I like to do is talk to you. So again, 508-996-0500. We'll take more of your calls coming up after the news. Again, Jack Spillane will not be with us today to turn on the light because he is on vacation. So that means it's just you and I for the remainder of the program. But right now, there is one other person here with us. That's Ariel Dorsey, and she's going to be bringing you all of the headlines of the day. And so let's go into the newsroom with Ariel.
Fiverr killed following a plane crash in Virginia, backlash towards Republicans on a border deal, and a college basketball game leads to an arrest.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The top prize of Hollywood's biggest night goes to Oppenheimer. The atomic bomb drama won Best Picture at the 2024 Academy Awards. Al Pacino presented the award, and Oppenheimer led the pack with 13 nominations, winning 7 Oscars. President Biden will be on the campaign trail in New Hampshire today. It's his first trip to the state and his quest for re-election, where he'll give a message about lowering costs for Americans and attend a private event later on. Biden won the state with nearly 53% of the vote in 2020. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is criticizing Republicans for not backing a recent bipartisan border deal. During an interview on ABC's This Week, Buttigieg said Donald Trump put pressure on Republicans to kill the bill to avoid any policy wins for President Biden leading up to the general election. He said the proposal included tough compromises for all sides, but Republicans would rather attack the president over the border issue rather than solve it. The trial of a Michigan father charged in connection with a deadly school shooting carried out by his teenage son continues today. James Crumbly is charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of 4 students at Oxford High School in 2021, where he killed by his son. 4 adults and 1 child are dead after a small plane crashed in Virginia Sunday. The private jet crashed in the woods near Ingalls Field Airport in Hot Springs, about 3 hours outside of Richmond. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. And the brother of an LSU women's basketball player is under arrest after jumping onto the court during a brawl that broke out in the Southeastern Conference Tournament Championship game against South Carolina. The altercation started with just over 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter when LSU's Flaze Johnson was called for an international foul and then was knocked to the floor by South Carolina's Camila Cordoza. Johnson's brother was escorted off the court in handcuffs after he jumped over the press box onto the court.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins will be looking for their 3rd straight win when they host the St. Louis Blues tonight at TD Garden. The Celtics are on the road when they visit the Portland Trailblazers tonight at 10:30. And the Red Sox next spring training game is today at 1 with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out this work week Monday morning with gray skies. We're looking also at temperatures around the mid-30s. Gusty winds up to 35 miles per hour. Flurries overhead. The clouds will break into sunshine this afternoon. Mid-40s. It'll remain windy overnight through the next couple of days. Tomorrow, sunny skies in the lower 50s with that wind out of the west. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast from the ABC 6 Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Cecilia del Carmen on the New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Ariel Dorsey with WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Jim Caro, call me every single day. don't want to, come on down to some damn cafe. Bobby dog, tell me, live in the moment. Don't get too far ahead, don't live in the past. I blink my eyes and the moment is over. I guess another day has passed. But it's just another day. Just another day. Watching girls on the street, well, that's all right.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, and got some messages from folks over the weekend that went out and tried Crispy Crunchy Chicken at Gas Express in New Bedford for the first time, telling me how much they enjoyed it, how it was big, meaty, real chicken, whether it be the bone-in chicken or the boneless tenders, or even that Cajun chicken sandwich. But that's what surprises everybody the most about it, is that they're surprised at just how big and meaty that chicken is for such a low price. The motto at Crispy Crunchy Chicken, either you know how good it is or you haven't tried it. Tasty, meaty, not greasy. And again, you can get it bone in or you can get boneless tenders or the chicken sandwich. It's hand-breaded and mildly Cajun spice. It's fresh. It's not frozen chicken, it's fresh, and they make it not to order. It's ready within minutes when you go in there, but they don't make it early and let it sit around. So it's not sitting under a warmer, getting all dried out. So it's made just before you ask for it, and it's fresh and delicious. Plus, they have all their great sides, like their potato wedges, jambalaya, macaroni and cheese, and their famous honey biscuits. So stop on by, get yourself a 2, 3, or 4-piece crunch box deal. You can also get a family deal if you want to call ahead, though, for that. Because, as I said, they make it in small batches, so you want to make sure you give them a heads up if you're coming in for a family meal. But it's also available through Uber Eats and through DoorDash and through GotChu. So check them out. They're open 11 to 8 Sunday through Thursday and until 10 on Wednesdays inside Gas Express in New Bedford at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Ave. Crispy Crunchy Chicken. In my opinion, hands down, the best fried chicken you will find in New Bedford. And you know what? Everybody that's tried it has agreed with me on that. So what are you waiting for? Try it yourself. Crispy, crunchy chicken inside Gas Express. All right, 508-996-0500. That's my number to call in and get involved in the conversation. We were talking earlier about the Oscars. We were talking earlier about the meeting that's coming up of the Feast Committee, whether or not to allow women to serve as, and please forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, but festeras. And it seems to be a story that is going to, even if they decide not to, it's going to keep going forward because the women who are looking to be able to serve are willing to take it to court. So if it's going to happen inevitably, it's just, it's a better look for the Feast Committee to decide, for the Feast, you know, powers that be to decide to just do it on their own rather than be forced. Now, I forget if it was Tara George or one of the other folks pushing for this, but there was the quote, I believe it was in New Bedford Light, where it said, you know, I'd rather not have to be, you know, force my way in, something along those lines. I'd rather not have to, you know, be part of something that I had to force my way into. I'd rather they welcome me with open arms. And Paul Santos used the perfect quote for that, which is, you know, what I thought of when I read that story, the Groucho Marx line: I would never want to be part of any club that would have me as a member. I use that all the time. But that's the point, is you want them to want you. You don't want it to be something that was forced upon them. So that's something we'll keep an eye on. There's also a story that WCVB was reporting this morning that I found to be very interesting, and it's another one to keep an eye on. This happened in Norwood. A 12-year-old middle school student was arrested in connection with a mass shooting threat at Coakley Middle School in Norwood. The incident began Friday morning when Norwood police received information that a group text had warned of a shooting that was going to take place at Coakley Middle. The original information was in the form of a screenshot that cropped the beginning of the message, and police said they later learned the cropped part of the message was warning of an event that would happen today. One of the numbers in the group was of unknown origin, while the others were students. So they began questioning the students in the group to see if they could find out who was the other person. Other parts of the message contained passing references to an army and alluded to the motive having to do with an event 17 years ago that was not otherwise explained, according to police. The message also warned that the phone number being used could not be traced. So detectives realized that the number was masked, and they were able to figure that out and get a sufficient amount of information to trace the source of it, and they identified the student as the person who had sent this out. The student was traveling out of state with their family at the time the threat was made. But then when they came back to town, they were able to question him in person. And now the student has confessed to having done this. The student had no guns in the home, didn't seem to have any access to guns. So the threat was deemed not credible. But then a similar threat was made against Norwood High School that they think is just, you know, somebody spoofing the original threat. But this was obviously, it sounds like it was a case of somebody just being an idiot, not actually having any malicious intent, but just being an idiot and not realizing the consequences of their actions. But kudos to the Norwood Police Department for being able to trace this and to overcome all the obstacles in the way, such as, you know, not knowing where this originated from and being able to trace the source and getting the kid to confess. Because then that alleviates the fear that kids would have had going to school today, this morning. But I still don't understand why kids are doing this. It's stupid. The kids that I know of are upset about the precautions that have to be taken. They don't like the fact that they have to do active shooter drills. And they don't think it's funny when somebody does something like this. So I don't understand why kids are still doing it. First of all, you're going to get caught. And secondly, you're going to ostracize yourselves with your peers because they don't want you to make them be afraid. And they don't want you playing games with their emotions. But again, all the credit goes to the police to be able to crack this so quickly and to get answers so that kids can go to school this morning feeling like they are safe. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And if you need to put solar on your home, you don't need a miracle. You just need Isaacson Solar because they can help you weed your way through all of the gimmicks and all of the things that are out there that are just not quite true. They can help you separate all of that, all the fiction from the fact, and get down to the actual business of going solar. And as I've been mentioning, they're a local company. They're not one of these fly-by-night companies that come into town. Everybody's walking around the neighborhood, knocking on your door, selling your solar panels. They throw them up on your roof, and then they leave, and you never hear from them again. That's not Isaacson Solar. They're here to make sure that they're only going to put solar panels on your home if it's right for you. They will give you an honest assessment. They will answer all of your questions simply, directly, and they will separate the gimmicks from the truth. Most importantly, if you are a good fit for solar, they will give you a free, no obligation quote. So you want to visit isaacsonsolar.com today. Again, that's isaacsonsolar.com. Visit them today and see if solar is right for you. Again, my number here, 508-996-0500. And I did get word during the break that we will be joined by Jack Spillane. He hasn't started his vacation yet, so he is going to stop in and talk with us. We can talk about his column at NewBedfordLight.org, Let It Be Feast Time for Women, as well as some other things that have been going on as well. But let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning.
I got to talk fast because 3 minutes flies. So I'll just touch on one subject quickly about that dead air last night. I heard the whole thing. I got the, the notification, and I got it, I heard it. And you were talking about, at one point, the children with the black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember reading a lot about them and a lot of books. I told you my mother used to collect a lot of books. I remember reading about that. And another thing that, what was the name of it? The Reluctant Spiritualist. I guess you were reading it?
Yes.
Okay, about the sisters and all with the rapping sounds and all. Now, if you remember, I sent you a pick of a book that I had. I think it's New England Hauntings and stuff. Their story is in my book. Now, I'm wondering if this book, the one you're reading by Nancy Stewart, I'm wondering if her story is exactly the same. So I have to find time to read that one, too, and see if there's anything different, just to see.
Well,
I'll
tell you, a lot of the stuff in Nancy's book is, things that have been pulled from different newspaper articles and some of the books that the Fox sisters either wrote or ghost wrote. So she's got a lot of primary sources in there. And I'm only about, 50 pages in so far, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, well, I like the books that have all different kinds of stories. Do you hear about David Lang? That's way back.
No.
The guy that was walking, you remember, who he is?
I don't think so.
I think his name, David Lang. He was... his family was working outside the house, his kids, his wife and all, and he was going somewhere in the horse and buggy, and I think he was a judge or something, and he was riding away with the buggy, and right in plain sight, that man disappeared. His family were watching him drive away, they were waving, and he got down off of the horse and buggy to do something, and then he started walking a little bit, and he disappeared, right in plain sight. And for years, they were investigating. They were going right over to the spot where he had disappeared. And, of course, story goes, they claimed they could hear him or he was trying to say something and he couldn't come through very clearly, stuff like that. I read a lot of stuff. Another thing about the food addiction, can I throw that in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for years and years and years, my problem was, and this is how I gained most of the weight I had gained, comfort eating. When you are upset, something's happened, like, it all started when my father first died. It was over 25 years ago. I needed something, and I always liked chocolate. That's how I had chocolate, became a monkey on my back. I was always getting chocolate. I would go all day without a single decent meal and have nothing but chocolate all day with my coffee. This was going on for years and years when my mother died, my sister died, my brother died. Same thing over and over. So last night I get a call from a lifelong friend. I've known her almost 60 years. That's a long time. And she called and told me, well, her niece was in the hospital. And then we don't think she's going to come out of it. She was pretty bad. So the first thing, those feelings all came back to me after over 2 years without chocolate now. So I wanted that. Now, it was already late at night. And with my eye disease, I can't drive in the dark. I said, I can't even go out and get any. But the feelings were there. So after we hung up, her and I called her back. I said, hey, would you like to go for coffee? We'll just go for coffee and have a talk and this thing, but you'll have to come and get me. She knows that because I can't drive at night whatsoever. So she came, we went out, we had coffee, we talked, blah, blah, blah. And then I get home and then I hear that ad that you put out. You, matter of fact, you just put the ad out for that crispy chicken stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I could probably try that if it's not made with any kind of a batter. Do they have chicken there that's just plain crispy chicken without that, that I could just rip that skin off and still eat it?
It does have, so it is all battered, but it is a very thin coat batter, and you could easily rip it off if you wanted to.
Could rip it off. But do they also have chicken that's just plain with the skin that's nice and crispy?
No, everything they do is the fried chicken that's battered. But when you, I would say just stop in and take a look at it. Like I said, it's a really, really thin, crispy skin, yeah. And it's easy to pull off if you wanted to, but you might not have to. There's not a lot of extraneous coating on it.
Yeah, well, that's where the problem goes in for me with that. Because, I mean, I like to just sit at night on the internet with my coffee and chocolate used to be right there, and I don't do that no more. I don't want to stop. But last night, that's feelings were so strong. So people that have these emotional eating problems, no matter how long they've gone without their addiction, it hits you. All of a sudden, it just comes. It's so hard that I thought I was going down a very slippery slope last night. And it all happened right after I saw you, you know, I heard you on that show there on the internet. And right after that was when she called and told me about her niece. So it all started. But okay, I went over the 3 minutes. Thank you, because I can go on and on with this crap, especially food.
All right, well,
have a good day. I enjoyed the show.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Mary's referring to, I was a guest on Dead Air Paranormal. My friend Ken DaCosta and George Lopez, they have this show on Sunday nights. And I've been a guest, you know, a few times on it. And they asked me to come on last night. It's a two-hour show, but I could only give them an hour because I just get so wiped out still by the end of the night. And even though it was only an hour conversation, it started at 8 p.m. and at 7:40, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay awake for this. And I made it through the hour, but then as soon as it was over, I was just toast. I sat in my chair and watched some TV, but I was, you know, dozing off in the chair. And then finally at like 11, I got up and said, I'm going into the bed, you know, instead of sleeping here in the chair. But it's always fun talking with them, even though I had to make it an abbreviated appearance. All right, I do have to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And before we take a break for the news and come back on the other side with Jack Spillane, I want to tell you that WBSM is teaming up with the United Way of Greater New Bedford to make sure school kids won't go hungry during the upcoming school vacation week with our annual Hunger Heroes food drop. Join us Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon outside of Aldi at the Dartmouth Mall as our WBSM team and folks from the United Way will be collecting food items to help keep kids fed. So you don't even need to get out of your car. You just pull up and volunteers will take the items from your car. We're looking for things like macaroni and cheese, peanut butter and jelly, granola bars, cereal, fruit cups. You can see a complete list at unitedwayofgnb.org. So come on by and donate on Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon outside of Aldi at the
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.